Reading from Canto 3, Chapter 13, The Appearance of Lord Varaha, text number 41. O Lord, as the peaks of great mountains become beautiful when decorated with clouds, your transcendental body has become beautiful because of your lifting the earth on the edge of your tusks. Purport. The word Vibhrama is significant. Vibhrama means illusion as well as beauty. When a cloud rests on the peak of a great mountain, it appears to be sustained by the mountain. And at the same time, it looks very beautiful. Similarly, the Lord has no need to sustain the earth on his tusks. But when he does so, the world becomes beautiful. Hey, hey, hey. Get him out of there. Come on. Down. Down. Down, down, down. That's for Krishna up there. Similarly, the Lord has no need to sustain the earth on his tusks, but when he does so, the world becomes beautiful. Just as the Lord becomes more beautiful because of his pure devotees on the earth. Although the Lord is the transcendental personification of the Vedic hymns, he has become more beautiful because of his appearance to sustain the earth. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadam Aheyam Tadati Svapadantikam Mokam Karoti Vachalam Pangulam Gayate Garim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Vinatarinam. So the word Vibhrama is significant. Vibhrama means illusion as well as beauty. In the material world, beauty is illusion, right? Is illusory. 1 minute you're handsome, the next minute you're not. In fact, you may not even exist. At least in that beautiful form. It's always changing. Adyantavanta kuntaya nateshu ramate buddha. Everything has a beginning, a middle and an end. And so therefore, it's illusory. It appears as one thing, and then it changes into another, and then eventually it disappears. So this is why the material energy is called illusory. That doesn't mean that the material energy doesn't exist. It certainly exists. A simple test is pinch yourself, right? You'll realize that you exist, right? I remember reading, there was a kid's poem at the Gurukul at Hare Krishna Valley many years ago, early 90s, and there was a poem, and the poem was asking the question, how do you know if you're really real? Right? How do you know if you're really real? And the conclusion of the poet was that you get a pair of wire cutters, right? And you chop off your little toe with the wire cutters, and you'll know from the sound of your screaming that you're real. Okay. So, it's an interesting situation that we're in because it's real, but it's illusory at the same time. And so, you know, one day we may be beautiful, and certainly in the future things will change and we will not be beautiful. So therefore this vibhrama as a word has two meanings. But in this particular case, the meaning is translated in the word for word as decoration. Beauty, decoration, illusion. And it's interesting. In this case, it refers to, the example that's been given is of a mountain or mountains. Right? Kula achala indrasya. Which is the... I'm not a Sanskrit scholar, but here's my analysis. Kula is the family, right? Achala means the non-moving, isn't it? Achala. Chala means flickering or moving. Achala means steady. Indrasya means the kings, right? The kings. So the kings of the family of the non-moving. That's the mountains. The king, the big mountains, right? So it's translated here as the of the great mountains. And it's referring to the peaks, Sringa Udha, the top part of those mountains that hold up, or they appear to hold up, the clouds. You know, when we see the mist or clouds moving in the sky, it's like a decoration. We were driving back from the program at Chiru Chaitanya's place the other day, and it's about 9 o'clock at night, and there was a very grey, dark grey sky. It was raining, or you know, wet day. And over the Yarra River, there were puffy white clouds just floating along, right? You know, sometimes you'll see that in the countryside. Above the rivers, there'll be a mist because there's a condensation of the water out of the river, and it'll look very, very attractive. You know, so a mountain with a cloud covering its peak, or mountains with clouds covering their peaks, is a very attractive, pleasant, pleasing sight. Right? Cloud, you know, the mountain by itself may be attractive, but with some clouds on top, then it looks more attractive. Just like we have a want, especially the ladies, we all like to look attractive, right? Appealing, or at least, you know, neat and tidy. Huh? Pretty much we all look in a mirror at least once a day. Right? You all look in the mirror once a day? Right? Put your tear lock on? Well, okay. Yep, I'm attractive. Enough. Right? That's why we go to, you know, different lengths to have hairstyles. Right? Or we wear earrings. Huh? I noticed one of my friends came back from India recently. Now he's sporting a nice pair of earrings. Huh? Very attractive. So, you know, we wear... We put on these decorations. Right? To look attractive, or look at least look neat and tidy. You know, for the men, the we have one style of dressing, right? Bald. Prabhupada said a bald man would be very happy to be a member of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. But, you know, we like to... If we've got hair, then we look in the mirror. So, looking... And ladies, you know, they'll decorate, paint their face. Huh? So, this is an interesting example that's been used here. The Lord Varaha, Sokaram, who's the, he's described here, Trayi Mayam. Rupam, Idam, Cha Sokaram. He's the personified form of the Vedas. Huh? And his decoration is the earth planet that's sitting on his tusks, just like a cloud sits on the top of a mountain and makes the mountain look more attractive. So similarly, Lord Bohr, he's already attractive. He's the most attractive because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even in the form of a boar, which is ordinarily, you know, the dirtiest. But this form, Sokaram, is it's not an ordinary, he's not an ordinary boar. Therefore, it's mentioned here. Trayi Mayam Rupam. He's the personification. So everything that he does is perfect. And everything that he does has a purpose. Paritranaya Sadunam. In this case, to uplift the earth from the nether regions of the universe and to reinstate the earth in its proper position. The Bhu Mandala is mentioned here. Bhu Mandala. Is the earth planet. It's ordinarily in the middle planetary systems. It's fallen down. So it needs to be reinstated. The earth is a very... The Bhumandala is a very... is a special place because it's not in the heavenly planets and it's not in the hellish planets. It's in the middle. And so it affords us a great opportunity as a consequence. There's not so much suffering that you will be completely distracted. And there's not so much enjoyment that you'll be completely distracted. The middle planetary systems give you a mixed fortunes, right? Good and bad, a mixture. You know, to be too miserable, it is a distraction for spiritual life. Too much suffering, right? And too much opulence is also while we might think it a boon, actually it's not. So there's enough comfort to be peaceful, but there's also enough suffering to be reminded of the inadequacies of material existence. And this is mentioned by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Jamma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha anudarshanam. That, and this is why an opulent situation is a disadvantage, because if you are living in a very comfortable situation, then you forget the realities of existence, birth, death, old age and disease. Right, the earth needed to be put back in its proper place. And in doing that, the Lord Varaha looked very beautiful, decorated in this fashion, fulfilling his purpose, if you like. His purpose is to protect the sadhus or the saintly. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam, to destroy the demons. Right? Destroy the demons. Whilst the Lord is affectionate to his devotees and gives them benedictions and gives them shelter and protection. And so therefore we can say he's the God of love. Right? This is an interesting comparison. Krishna is the God of love, but at the same time, he doesn't shirk a fight if it's needed, right? So he lifts up the earth planet, but he also annihilates, destroys Hiranyaksha, right? So he's not all just peace and love. If there's a need for a fight, then he's up for it. Is that right? Now just in case anybody thinks that God's just all love, peace and love. No, he has, just like we've got these symbols here, right? Conch, chakra, Gada, is it? And Padma, right? What is the chakra for and the club? What are they for? What do you use a chakra for? Chopping heads off. Right? and a club. What do you do with a club? Smash heads. Right? Once you chop the head off, then you smash it. Right? Lord Balaram is famous for his dexterity with the club. Isn't it? Right? He's the club acharya. Right? Club acharya. So, you know, these are weapons. These are weapons. If you get bashed by Balaram's club, that's a benediction. Right? We should be so fortunate to be bashed up by Lord Balaram. Right? This is great good fortune. Of course, Balaram's also, he's in Krishna, in Vrindavan Leela, he's what do we call it? We can't say it's a weapon. It can be a weapon, but the plough, you can see here, he's got the plough. Balaram represents the protector or the engager of the bulls, right? The bullocks, the working animals, the cows and the bulls that are working. So that's why he's got the plow. Krishna's got the flute. He attracts the cows, and so he represents a protection of the cows, the milking cows. Balaram engaging the bullocks. So you know, cow protection means looking after. Milk is important, but just as important, or as important, is the working of the working animals, the bullocks, the bulls. Because, you know, if you don't work the bulls, what happens? You know what happens when you don't work the bulls?
They become troublesome.
They become troublesome. They dig holes in the ground. They break the fences. They fight with each other. Huh? Like the men. Men need to be controlled. Huh? By engagement. Otherwise, you know, why do the politicians worry about unemployment? Right? Why do they worry about unemployment? What happens when people are unemployed? Crime, they get depressed. This is what happens. Bulls get depressed. Mope around. What's going on around here? Nothing to do. Huh? That's what happens. So they need to be engaged. And so, you know, the cow, the protector of the cows has a stick. Right? Bullockies have a whip. Right? Keep them under control. You know, everybody likes to think God is just love and peace and, you know, you can do what you like. No, not at all. He has a club and a chakra, and if you get out of line, right? So similarly also, the cows and the bulls, they have to be looked after and they have to be controlled. It appears from an external perspective, it looks cruel. Right? It looks cruel. I got some pictures from Manigrevi the other day. Yes. You know, Aruni had this big lump in the side of her neck. Right? And it was... So he got the vet in, have a look, see what was wrong. And then the vet cut it and then squeezed it and out all this pus and stuff came out. Right? I was tossing up whether to put the pictures on Facebook or not. Yeah? I think I will, because, you know, we like to see everything nice and peaceful, you know, happy. But life in the material world also has its challenges. And, you know, because we had to check it out, because some things like that can be cancerous as well. But, and you know, cutting the neck of the cow, it doesn't look that, you think, oh, that's cruel, right? But it's necessary to remove the growth, huh? Yes, you can use a knife. Prabhupada gives the example. You can use a knife to kill somebody, or you can use a knife to save their lives, right? So, you know, it requires intelligence, how to use the knife for cutting or killing, right? Prabhupada says it rests with the person in knowledge. And a proper understanding of how these things are to be used. And it's interesting, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions, you know, how can you kill? The soul doesn't die. So therefore, a saintly person doesn't act in a way that causes suffering or disturbance to others. He's not impelled to act from a personal consideration just to, say, kill somebody, because he knows they can't be killed in any case. But then Krishna's saying, fight and kill these guys. So it's kind of contradictory. He's saying, you can't kill anybody because they're eternal. Go and kill them. And here's the god of love. You know, he plays a flute in the forest, he attracts his girlfriends and he dances, does the Rasa Leela. And so we see all of these affectionate dealings. But then he says, you know, after saying or giving instructions like, you know, you shouldn't kill, you should be a controller of the senses, a controller of the mind, you shouldn't act in a way that's influenced by passion. And yet, we see what ordinarily would be considered a very passionate activity, that is to go out and fight, is actually being encouraged. Right, so how do we reconcile that? How do we understand that? And we can only understand that when we see that, or we acknowledge and appreciate and deeply understand that whatever God does, whether he's wielding his club or, you know, giving a benediction with his conch, that each activity or both activities are equally beneficial for everyone. And that action is to be appreciated, especially here. He's Trayi Mayam Rupam. He's the form of all knowledge. And so Prabhupada says, you know, one who's in knowledge knows the utility of everything, can see the utility of everything, can appreciate the Lord's appearance in the form of a boar, which ordinarily, from the material perspective, is considered to be the lowest or one of the lowest of animals. But in this case, is described as being the most beautiful. You know, when you see as mentioned many times, you see the hogs in Vrindavan, and they're definitely not the most beautiful. Right? And here, the most beautiful is looking even more beautiful when decorated with the earth Bhumandala. It's interesting here, it says Bhumandala, and it's described as being like a cloud that sits, you know, it's a cloud sort of like this plane, you know, this, it's not a globe, but it's like a saucer, right? Interesting. The example that's given here, like a cloud sitting on the tusk of Lord Varaha. And so he's looking very beautiful, decorated by the earth planet. Now Prabhupada says here, he looks beautiful and the earth becomes beautiful. And there's another example that Prabhupada gives for us to meditate on. The Lord becomes more beautiful because of his pure devotees on the earth. Right? So, Krishna is beautiful already. He is the most beautiful. He's the Param, right? The Param Atma, or the Param Ishvara. And what would be the word for Param, the most beautiful?
Eternal.
Huh? Eternal. Eternal. Yeah, and no, I'm thinking Sanskrit. We'll have to look it up. So they go together. Right? The Lord and the earth, the Lord and the devotees. They're already beautiful, but together they look more beautiful. Prabhupada mentions here that Krishna is beautiful, but he looks more beautiful when he's surrounded by his devotees. And the importance of the devotees is not to be underestimated. You know, there's that prayer of Lord Shiva to Parvati where he explains that the worship of Lord Vishnu is the highest. Right? But he says higher than that is the worship of his paraphernalia, tvadiyanam. Even the Lord's paraphernalia is worshipable. Huh? And so the devotees are also highly appreciated by the Lord and make him appear more beautiful. He's already the most beautiful, but when surrounded by his devotees, then he looks even more attractive. Of course, the devotees don't think they're making the Lord look beautiful. Right? They don't think like that. They think that the Lord is the most attractive and they want to decorate him. Right? We see here, every morning and evening, in the daytime, the devotees go out of their way to decorate Krishna. And serve Krishna. Very inspiring, actually, to see the amount of service that the devotees are doing. I've been taking pictures in the kitchen to share with my friends. I'm just really struck by how much goes on in the kitchen, right? Mums know this. They know how much goes on in the kitchen. Yeah, the men sit at the tables, "Ooh, I want my dinner." But And how much goes on in the worship of the deity? You know, we close the doors, so you can't actually see what's happening when the puja is being done. But there, behind there, there's a dozen people doing stuff every day, every morning, and. All for Krishna's pleasure. This is an exhibition of pure devotional service. And done every day without expectation. Well, should be done without expectation. Right? We shouldn't be dressing or doing our puja so that people will tell us how good a job we did. That may come about as a consequence, but that's not what we do it for. We do it for pleasing Krishna. And so we see this, so much effort put into decorating Krishna. And Prabhupada says the more you decorate Krishna, the more beautiful you'll become. Right? Because we're in connection with Krishna, then we become, we're purified. Pavitram idam uttamam. We get out of the mode of ignorance and we come into the mode of transcendental devotional service. And then the real personality of the devotee will shine through, you know, the covering of this material body. You know, you've got a dead body, you can put as many decorations on it as you like, but it is not going to be attractive. Right? Put lipstick, fancy bindi, right? Bangles, silk sari. But if it's a dead body, who cares? Nobody wants to go near it. So the real, you know, the attractiveness of a person, especially in a devotee, is manifest when the heart is pure, and the purity of the spirit soul shines through the physical manifestation and activities of the body, because the most important element is the soul. That's who we are, manifest or observed in consciousness. It's a symptom of the soul, and when that consciousness is enlivened in pure devotional service, in devotional service, and devotional service is performed without material motivation, then the real identity of the personality of the devotee shines. Doesn't need actually any. This is why we, you know, don't put so much emphasis on hairstyle and clothing and, you know, decorations. Because they may accompany or accentuate, what's the word? Enhance, yes. They may enhance our beauty, so-called beauty, right? But the real beauty of an individual is when their pure identity as a spirit soul, you know, enlightened person shines. That's the real attractiveness. That's, you know, that's what makes us attractive. What makes us, what makes the body work. Without the presence of the soul, you've got nothing. But when we identify with the body, then our original pure spiritual identity gets covered over. Just like, you know, if a drop of water falls through the sky in its original condition, it's clear and pure and has all of the natural qualities of pure water. But then when it hits the ground, then it mixes with the dirt, and what have you got? When water mixes with dirt, what do you get? Mud. Right? So, you know, there's a saying, it's as clear as mud. So when we get conditioned by the material energy, then our original spiritual identity gets covered over. And, you know, you can't, when it's muddy, it's hard to, you can't distinguish the water from the dirt. We know the water's there because it's mud, right? But it's hard to distinguish the pure water from the dirt. So the real attractiveness of a devotee is when they're engaged in pure devotional service, or shall we say devotional service. Devotional service means pure devotional service. That means no motivations. Done purely for the pleasure of Krishna, then we see. It's manifest when we worship Krishna, when we chant Hare, when we are engaged. Our method for worshipping Krishna is to be engaged in the Sankirtan Jagya. When we're engaged in the Sankirtan Jagya, then automatically our pure identity, or the realization of our original pure spiritual identity, will shine. So Prabhupada says, the more we decorate Krishna, the more we serve Krishna, the more purified we'll become, the more effulgent we'll be. Susukam kartam avyayam pratyakshavagamam damyam. Susukam kartam avyayam. The process of devotional service is considered to be the perfection of religion. Why is that? Because it gives us direct perception of who we actually are. And when we directly perceive our spiritual identity, or when our spiritual identity is uncovered, you know, our consciousness expands expands. What's a synonym for expand?
Broaden.
Yeah, broaden. Yeah,
Widen.
Widen. Yeah, they're both not. They're right, but not quite what I'm looking for. But anyway, our consciousness. The example is given like a lotus. When a lotus bud, it's like this. But then as it grows, it opens up. Right? Very beautiful. Blossom. Yeah, blossom is a good one. Bloom, blossom. So as we become Krishna conscious, then automatically our consciousness expands. And the character or the identity of, well, we become aware. And, you know, our original spiritual position is Satchit Ananda. And so one test of our making spiritual advancement is we should be becoming happy. Huh? You know, there's that story of Prabhupada who was in Africa with one of his disciples who was in a bit of maya, right? And Prabhupada told him, he said, get your morose face out of here. Words to that effect. Right? I don't want to see your morose face anymore. Huh? So the natural, and you see it, when the devotees are chanting, then naturally we're connecting to Krishna, and then they're smiling and they're happy and very jolly, boisterous even sometimes. Maybe even get a bit puffed up. We're the pure devotees. Huh? It happens. I'm on the path of perfection and now I'm perfect. Step aside, you guys. Huh? That's what I was explaining to Prabhu yesterday. He was telling me about how nobody obeys the crowd controllers. I said, they're on the path of perfection. Huh? They're now perfect. Whatever they do is perfect, and so that nobody can tell them what to do. Huh? But this is Kanishtha mentality, actually. Although there are symptoms of pure devotion where a devotee does become a little boisterous and a little enthusiastic. Right? And that's not a bad thing. That's generally a good sign. But of course, we can overdo it. Right? All elements of devotional service have their good and their bad side. We have to know how to apply it appropriately. You know, like Dhruva Maharaj, he took revenge on the yakshas for the killing of his brother. But then after he'd killed a few million of them, Kuvera had to come along and say, I think that's enough. Right? So, when the devotees are engaged in devotional service, then they become beautiful. Because of their associating with Krishna, the most beautiful. And as a result of their association with Krishna, they become beautiful. Then Krishna also looks more beautiful. And so Prabhupada mentions there's a competition between Krishna and the devotees. Who experiences the most bliss? Who's the most beautiful? In fact, Krishna's so attracted to the beauty of the devotees and the happiness of the devotees that he thinks, what is it that they are experiencing? What do they see in me? This was Krishna's mood in appearing as Lord Chaitanya. So the combination of Krishna, or here we've got Varaha and the earth, makes for a more beautiful, pleasing picture when they're together than when they're apart. Krishna with his devotees, Krishna's already the all-attractive, but when he's together with his devotees, then he becomes even more attractive. In fact, Krishna without his devotees is, in one sense, deficient, believe it or not. Right? That's one of the reasons why he is upset, if God can be upset, because he's Atmarama, so he can't be upset. Right? But he is upset when he sees that his devotees are lingering in the material world and not in his association. And so therefore, he goes out of his way to get the devotees who are not devotees to come back to him. You know, what's the example that Prabhupada gives? A gold ring with a diamond. Isn't it? The gold ring is beautiful by itself. The diamond's beautiful by itself. But if you put the two together, then they look even more attractive. Although, why we place so much value on diamonds, it's actually a scam. You know that? It's actually a scam. There are so many diamonds, you know, they're like practically worthless. But the diamond manufacturing company, you know what they do? They hold them back. They keep them. And that way they keep the price up. If they let all of the diamonds that exist on the market loose, you know, the value would just... And so there's been a whole marketing campaign since the 40s and the 50s, you know, to make us think that, you know, when you get married, then the bride has to have a gold ring with a diamond on it. But why do we do that? What do we do that for? Especially when a diamond's not really... You try and sell your diamond ring. You buy it, take it out of the shop, and then take it back in and say, you know, I want my money back. See how much they'll give you. Huh? Bit of a scam. But in any case, diamond is notionally beautiful, or a gem is beautiful. The gold is beautiful. Put them together. And the gold ring with jewels makes a more attractive decoration. So Krishna, minus the devotees, is not as attractive as when he's with his devotees. And Krishna appreciates, likes to be with his devotees. So Lord Bor, Lord Varaha, is very happy to be with the earth planet. And he's showing his affection by taking the earth planet out of the nether regions of the universe and replacing it where it belongs. And the vision, the image of his balancing the Bhumandala on his tusks is a very attractive sight, and it's being appreciated here by the... Is it Lord Brahma or is it the...
Sages.
This is the rishis. Yeah, the rishis. They're seeing... Although the Lord is the transcendental personification of the Vedic hymns, Trayimayam Rupam, he has become more beautiful because of his appearance to sustain the earth. Does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points? Comment.
I think I can't relate to my thinking so much. You were mentioning John, you mentioned Jaralia, Dukadoshan, Hashan.
Yeah.
That there's nothing that can make a dead body beautiful, except that the symptoms of devotional service that was carried out during the life. I guess we have the experience of, especially through Prabhupada, but when the devotees make their bodies, that it's not comparable to just a mundane death.
No, it's not. A life of sacrifice is very attractive. And beautiful.